Fully. Wish to apologize to the instrument for any discomfort she may have felt. We try to join with her as gently as we can.
I'm sure you do. And I'm equally sure that she quite understands that it's not always possible for you to do precisely what you wish. It takes time.
We are happy with the way things are moving.
Good. It's very nice to hear.
This evening, because of slight difficulties with the instrument, I ask you take things a little more slowly.
Certainly. And let me know when you're ready to begin.
That you have all gathered here once again.
Good.
Now I think we can begin.
I'd like to say first it would be difficult to stop them gathering now, I believe. They look forward to your company. Right, we'll begin. I want to say first that forgive us if some of our questions, or my questions, may seem trivial. They are not intended as such. But we have to get this information across to the man in the street. Therefore, it has to be couched in terms which the man in the street can understand. We may already know some of the answers, but since we are beginning recording fresh, this is why I may repeat the questions once more, if that's agreeable to you. As it's all done with the best intent for the propagation of the knowledge and the wisdom which we know will be coming, but it has to begin slowly, as you'll appreciate. Now, I have been asked many times about sex of men and women in the next world. It is understood that they do retain their physical sex, as it were, or semblance of sex, men and women. I don't know the precise reason for that, but I imagine that ultimately there would be a coalescing of the two, and eventually beings are sexless.
Yes. Let me answer for you.
Come.
Again, we have touched on what happens when you leave your physical states.
Yes.
Of course, you retain all that you have been, except for that physical part of your being.
Right.
Why then would it seem that you should discard what has been an important part of your being?
No, I don't think that it would be wise to do that, because it is a personality thing, is it not?
Yes. Of course, it is necessary for a considerable time. In fact, what you are speaking of, the merging of the sexes to become sexless, if you like, you are speaking of aeons of time.
Yes, a long time.
It is not something that happens quickly.
I ask the question because it's been asked of me so often. People seem to think that the Aetherians, as I'm going to call those in the next world, to say for clarity, suddenly become puffs of the diaphanous material.
Yes, I do.
It's quite amusing, though, the idea some people have.
Yes, I don't wish to minimize what you're saying, but yes, that is an idea of many. You must remember whether you are male or female.
Of course.
In your physical being, you are in fact the essence of both.
Yeah, of course we are. And the division is only for physical purposes.
Yes, that is true. Yes, you co-create while you are in the physical being. That is a necessity.
Of course.
But you do not suddenly discard that element of yourselves when you come to our side of life.
Okay. And following on from that, we understand, of course, that the procreation is not possible in the next world. But should a couple wish to nurture a child from birth, if I can put it that way, is it possible for them to acquire the spiritual child in order to satisfy that longing?
It would depend on the motive for the longing.
The motive again comes into it.
Yes.
Yes.
It is possible, but the motive would be the utmost reasoning behind it.
I see.
But yes, it is possible if you can see that it would further your spirituality.
I see. So
for no other reason.
For no other reason, quite. So if the desire was solely for the benefit of spiritual progression and for the development of the child also, then no doubt it would be permitted.
It would be permitted only on those grounds.
Okay.
The longing in itself is not reason enough.
No, I see. Okay. Now, tell me if I'm going too quickly, won't you?
Do we think the instrument is comfortable now?
Oh, good. Okay. Another thing I believe, we flatter ourselves that we have in our museums and art galleries what are called original paintings, old masters and so on, which are sold for fabulous, absurd prices. Am I right in thinking that they are only copies of the originals which are in your world? That the originals exist in your galleries and ours are merely copies, even though they have been painted by a physical person?
Again, we touch on a subject we have discussed. We have discussed the power of thought and inspiration. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are partly correct when you say they are copies. What would happen? The inspiration comes from us. Not necessarily that the original exists. I don't say in all cases.
No.
I am trying to explain simply. The inspiration is given to one here. That is painted. Let us take a painting. That is painting. Painted by the painter.
Yes.
Then, perhaps, A copy of the inspired one is in our world. But originally the inspiration comes from us.
Yes. You could say the original physical one is here, but the original thought and inspired one is with you.
Yes.
Okay, that explains that. I had a strong feeling that you did retain what I regarded as originals, because it was an original thought.
Sometimes, not always.
Not always?
Not always. Mm-hmm. Again, there are many reasons which I will not enter into now.
Right.
But yes, mostly you are correct.
Okay. And I believe too that if in your world an artist wishes to continue his work, he can do so, and is provided with materials, always on the understanding that he will be working for others and not for his own personal satisfaction alone.
What would be the purpose of working here, of being inspired, if you cannot carry on?
Quite.
There would be no reasoning, there would be no usefulness, there would be no growth.
Yeah.
So, of course, the desire again and the motive come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they would be encouraged to continue.
Encouraged to continue.
And, of course, with materials that they would not be familiar with.
Yes. So they are able, I should think, to produce much more magnificent work than ever would have been possible on this earth.
And they too, in turn, can inspire.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure.
You see the follow-on.
Yes.
The follow-on effect.
Right. They can inspire others here.
Yes.
Good.
That's what we would expect them to do.
I had the pleasure once of speaking through my lady to somebody who said he was Michelangelo or Michelangelo, as some call him. I have no reason to doubt it because of other factors. But he said that since he has been with you, he finds his vision, he was blind, of course, or almost blind when he left here, his vision isn't needed for his work. He can see by thought, even the far distant vistas. That I found the most interesting comment.
Let me say, all of you, close your eyes. See the beauty that is within you. What matter it that you do not have sight?
Yeah.
Beauty is a thought. Again I come back. Always I will teach you the power of thought.
Right.
There lies the beauty. Sight is not necessary to be able to visualize.
No.
That is what he was telling you.
Yes.
The beauty lies within.
Mm-hmm. So he could imagine a scene without even seeing it. And presumably be fairly correct in his interpretation.
Speak. Do you know of someone who is without sight?
No, I don't. Well, I know somebody partially sighted, but not completely without.
Speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to them. Listen to the beauty that comes from within them.
Yes.
They have a knowledge, perhaps, that all of you sighted people have lost.
And that I can accept and agree with.
That they retain the beauty that they have lost with the loss of their vision.
Mm. Thank you. Now we come to another factor. The marvelous things which happen in our physical world, such as the migration of birds from one country to another without any visible means. There are many theories advanced as to how this is done. Are they following lines of energy in the earth, as you have spoken of? Do they have the power to do that?
Let me first say, all of the animal kingdom, like you, are following their own evolution. all life is energy. Our feathered friends have a sense that no other human, animal, living thing possesses. It is something original to them.
You see?
Yes, some do follow energy lines, others have an innate sense of distance of travel. It is difficult to find words to describe. Without being a bird, it would be too difficult for you to understand.
I do accept that. It is something beyond our comprehension again.
Yes. I am struggling for the words to explain to you. Yes, they have an innate knowledge of where they are going. They know exactly where they are going. It is part of their growth, if you like.
Yes. That's interesting. I thought it must be something like that. Because that is so incomprehensible to us. And so repetitive, year after year.
I perhaps would say, it is almost like you would follow radar.
Yes.
Except theirs is an innate knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Used only by them.
Yes, so our inventions are commonplace compared with what they have in the natural world.
Yes. Yes, I'm afraid so.
Much has
been lost to humankind.
Yes, I hope that our work here and others like us will be very instrumental in getting it back to humanity one day.
It lies within your own hands.
Of course. Yes, it is there to be nurtured if we wish. Again, staying with birds for a moment, if I may. Am I right in thinking that they have telepathic powers also? I'm sure they must, from the maneuvers of a flock of birds without hitting one another. Thousands of birds together can perform the same gyrations instantaneously. I can only put it down to a telepathic sense.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. Perhaps telepathy is not the correct phrase to use. But yes, they have an understanding. They have a community mind, if you like.
No, that's
that
a better
is
expression.
The most simplest way I can say.
Yes.
It is not exactly telepathy as you would understand it to be.
Right. But they all work on the same common wavelength.
Yes. Now we are getting a little closer.
Yes,
it is an energy. It is a wave.
Energy again. Inherent in them all.
Yes.
I thought it must be because even young fledglings follow the pattern.
It is an innate thing within them.
Yes. Yes, it'd be nice if we had it. So. Now,
do you think you do not?
No, I think we have, but we've neglected it.
That is true. If only humankind could realize their own potential.
Yes.
You would be so much better for it.
Well, I'm sure we would. I know that years ago I used to go into my garden early in the morning in the summer. And I could literally feel the new energy for the new day coming through the earth and through my feet into me. It was a tangible thing when I tuned into it. I've never told anybody anything because they would probably think I'm mad.
Let me, I don't like to, but I have to disagree. Energy is not tangible.
No.
It is not tangible but I understand what you are saying.
Yes, I could feel it in a way, or become aware of it.
Yes, the awareness was there,
yes.
But energy is not a tangible thing.
No, you're quite right. Oops, I just used the wrong word.
I'm sorry, stupid people. I don't mean to do that.
No, thank you.
Things to be clear.
Thank you, so do I, and I appreciate you doing it. Another thing which I have often been asked is that in the next world, is it possible for the inhabitants to suffer, I was going to say physical, but it's not physical, but bodily damage as we do here? Can they hurt themselves as we do?
Physically?
Physically, yes.
Of course not physically. They do not possess a physical body. They can damage themselves, yes, but it is not a physical damage. It is a spiritual, emotional damage that they can create for themselves.
So carry on. So they wouldn't break a limb or anything as we would here?
No, that is not possible.
No. Now, as I say, it may sound trivial, but it's not put in a trivial way.
Their minds they can.
Yes.
But, of course, if they don't have a physical body, they cannot have a physical brain.
Of course.
But the damage can be there mentally, yes. Emotionally. And that is why you do your rescues. You are dealing with emotionally damaged spirit beings.
Yes. Right.
Do you understand?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And I am told too that the insect world, those butterflies come under that, I believe, is much more pronounced and much larger, much more beautiful than in this world. Butterflies, for instance, I am told, have gorgeous colours. And become very friendly, if you wish them to.
It would depend. Yes, all things are, shall we say, larger than life as you would know it.
Yes.
But when you are speaking of insect life, butterflies, bees, flies, whatever you wish to speak of, unless they have the contact here in a physical form, then what would happen is they return to a group soul. There are the few, and this I know, this is what you are speaking of. Those would appear to be much larger, much brighter than you would find here on your earth. But the majority return to the group soul.
I see.
Is that clear?
Yes, thank you. It is.
In the same way, we are asked about pets, the animals, the dogs, the horses, the cats.
Yes.
The same applies.
Mm-hmm. So they would not have souls as we would imagine them to have?
They do. If they have been in touch with humankind, if they have found the expression of love, that is what singularizes them.
I see. So if a former owner comes over to you and wishes to have his or her pet returned to them, that can be achieved.
If the pet has gone before, then it will be waiting.
Yes,
on that honor. Always remember, it is the love tie.
That's right.
That cannot be extinguished.
Right. So they are in suspense, as it were, until the one who loves them calls for them again.
Not necessarily so.
No?
They will have the freedom of the fields. They will have the love of other people.
I see.
If that is what they so wish.
Yes.
But yes, they will be there. they will wait for that love tie when the time is right.
And I am told that there are areas where other animals, as we know them, also exist.
Yeah. Let me say this to you. When you leave your physical ease, all thoughts become reality.
Yes.
You can have whatever you want to. If you wish to see a field of horses, a field of sheep, whatever, the thought will make that materialize for you. Can you understand?
Yes, I can, I accept that.
So again, we come back to the power of your thoughts.
Yes. Yes, because I have thought about this a lot myself, and I can fully appreciate that the power of thought can produce that phenomena, if I can put that that way, which will then disappear once the thought disappeared, presumably.
That is quite right. It is the power of the thought that makes it the reality.
Yes.
When you no longer need, shall we say, that thought, then, of course, why should it exist?
Quite.
So, yes.
It has no reason to do so, has it?
Yes. That is correct. Mm-hmm. Your thinking on those lines is correct.
Okay. And now we come to rather deeper things, the question of eating meat on this earth. Of course, there is much controversy, as you no doubt know, between vegetarians and the meat eaters. Well, what are your feelings, or what are the feelings in the other world about that? Are animals put here for any reason other than a food supply? And are we at liberty to use them as a food supply, providing we thank them for what they are giving us?
Yes. This is indeed a subject that is much discussed in your plainness.
Yes.
Let me speak as I know. Let me say this to all of you. You should have a regard for all life. Once again, let me say, you have all been endowed with your own free will. But I say to you, respect all life forms, whatever that may be. Examine your conscience. If you wish to kill an animal, that is up to you. But remember this. All forms of existence were put onto this earth for their own development, their own growth, their own evolution. Provided the reason for killing is a good one, and I use that phrase reservedly.
Yes.
Reservedly. Provided it is a good one, then your own spirituality will not suffer. But to kill an animal cannot be said to be good.
Yeah.
I know this may go against the thinking of many of you, but it has to be said.
Of course.
Let me speak of past people. They killed animals to exist, to feed themselves. But they had a respect for their life. They did it, how can I say, in a loving way.
Yes.
Again, I speak reservedly. They would kill one animal with love to feed their families. Can you see the difference?
Yes, I can indeed.
Can you see the motive, the cause behind it?
Right.
In that way, their own spirituality would not suffer.
Mm. Between this motive, isn't it?
But today, there is too much killing. And with a senseless hatred behind it.
Yes.
That can never be deemed to be right.
In so-called sport.
Sport. Sport does no good.
No.
For the one who calls it sport. I have to say again, the cause. Cause and effect are so important in your lives here. So, if you wish me to give you an answer, then I would say it is wrong to kill animals to feed yourselves.
Yes. Thank you. I'd like to follow that up with another question before I ask other people to take some time. Let us assume, to quote your analogy of a man killing for his family and apologizing for having to do so, you would regard that as a satisfactory motive. Would it have an effect on the animal's development?
In what way?
Well, if the animal's developing, one presumes they are part of the communal soul, would it affect him, the animal's development in that communal soul?
I see. If the animal has been looked after with love,
yes,
with respect, then, although the ultimate is death to the animal, no, the animal will not suffer.
Thank you.
No.
Because I think in the past, the North American Indians and other tribes, of course, were aware of this and always gave apologies to the animal before they killed it.
That is what I am saying.
Yes.
They had respect for life.
Quite.
And although they killed, in a way, they redeemed themselves.
Yes.
I'm saying, although it is not right, can you see that sometimes there is a reason for doing these things?
Mm-hmm. What we would call extenuating circumstances.
Well, partly, if you wish to put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But I do understand. Okay.
Those people had a great respect for life, all forms of nature.
You did indeed.
Not only the animals, but as you were saying earlier, the ground they walked upon, the rushing of the river, the sun in the sky, the moon at night. They respected many things. And so, they did not affect their own soul's worth because of the love that they extended. Does that make sense?
Yes, it absolutely does, thank you. Well, it confirms my own opinions of these things. As one American once said, when he was asked to sell some land many years ago, who can set a price upon the sparkle of the water or the scent of the trees? It has no physical price at all. and your spiritual value.
Who are we to judge what is of value?
No.
We do not have that right.
Right.
We were endowed with all of these things for the good of all people.
Yes.
Therefore, it has been entrusted to us, if you like. And so, we must show that love and respect to all things.
Yes.
But again, as you know, people are at different stages of awareness. And so, they cannot always be blamed, if you like, for their actions.
No, it is becoming, they are becoming much more aware of the need to respect nature, fortunately. Various organizations are now springing up to try and educate the population into these things.
That can only be for the good.
Of course. And I think I must give some time to others now to ask questions. Thank you very much. Brent, George, anybody?
Well, on that topic, could we add to it the position of fish? Some people who are vegetarian will eat fish as well as vegetables, but would it be proper to see fish with the animal kingdom and avoid killing fish?
It applies to all fish. Are not exceptions. They are still the pattern of life. It should make no difference whether it be fish, a chicken, a cow, a sheep. It all applies in the same way.
Thank you. Anybody else? No question?
This is something quite different. There is some evidence that there was an Atlantis, an Atlantean continent where the Atlantic Ocean is now. There is evidence that it had a civilization, that it submerged, and the last island submerged some 12,000 years ago. Would you be able to confirm any of this? And if so, would those people in spirit realm influence us today?
Let me say, I am aware of the story of Atlantis. And I must say to you, there have been many changes on your earth going back many, many thousands of years. More than one island has sunk in the time of the Earth's existence. Many people have come, lived on this earth and disappeared, as too have the animals at different stages of evolution. Yes, there was an island with a people with much knowledge. Yes, they would influence people, but no more than any other, once they have joined us in the spirit realms. You are speaking only of one race of people. Let me say to you, there have been many. They were not an exceptional people. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. Yes, one further thought was that they may have excelled at working with stone and possibly have left wonderful stonework in other parts of the world.
There are many areas in your world today which are largely still undiscovered. I do not come here to tell you where these places are. That is up to mankind to discover. I am not here to interfere with the working of the world. But let me say this. There have been many races who have trodden your earth, who have had superior knowledge in many aspects on different things, not only stonework, but on precious gems, on many things. But one day, these places will be discovered. Is that useful to you?
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much.
Just to confirm what you have been saying to us, the word gold artifacts, found, manufactured gold, hand-worked gold artifacts, found in seams of coal which were laid down thousands of years ago, embedded in the coal. Maybe you haven't read that, George.
Remember, I am speaking of the very early times on this earth.
Right.
Much is still to be discovered.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
Those people were not as unusual as you would like to believe.
Yeah.
Do we have someone in distress within the room?
Somebody in distress with a nose problem? You just say nose?
No.
Within this room.
In this room?
No.
No? One of our healers has a nose problem. It's not in his room, but I heard of it today.
No matter, let us continue.
Okay. What did you say? Oh yes, in your previous visit, when we were talking about reincarnation, you said that one would not come back, probably, unless there was, quote, a wrong to be redeemed, unquote. Now, when we come back and we are born in the usual physical way, we have no knowledge of that wrong. What is the reason that we are not given that knowledge so we can begin to take steps to rectify whatever it is we have come back for?
What would be the purpose of having the knowledge?
To know that if we had mistreated somebody, say, I appreciate that person may not be alive at the time when the reincarnation happens.
You would be placed in a situation that would be apt for you to learn whatever it was you were to learn.
We would.
It would be too simple for you to return with the knowledge of what you had to do. Do you not see that it would make things too awkward? There would be no purpose to it if you knew why you returned.
Well, I agree it would be defeating the object, probably.
Yes.
But we would be placed in the position, even unknowingly, we would be placed in the position where we could redeem that wrong, could we? Would we?
Not unknowingly. You would come into the situation that you need to have to redeem the wrong.
Yes, that's
but
what
you
I mean.
Come knowingly,
mm-hmm.
Not unknowingly.
I see. And so the knowledge, in effect, would be given us at the appropriate time.
the knowledge is there. Where it is forgotten is when you return to the physical being.
Yes.
But the knowledge is there within that soul.
That will be triggered at the right opportunity.
At the correct moment, it should be triggered. Each and every one of you here is given more than one opportunity, more than one opportunity to know, to accept what is going on in this particular lifetime. It is entirely up to you whether you accept or reject.
You said that's where our free will comes into it then.
Yes.
The opportunity is given us for redemption.
You are placed within the correct opportunities.
And then it's up to us to use our free will.
Yes.
In truth.
Yes.
And that answers that one. Good. Any more questions?
Could I ask a question about the Christian religion? We've had several. But I'm looking at the good parts of Christianity, the prayer, the love, and I'm particularly looking at the laws of Moses, the Ten Commandments, which indicate that we should love God, that we should love our neighbour as ourselves, we should not kill. Can you advise that these laws are still a good set of laws for us to observe?
It is the eternal law. You have used the ultimate word, love. The word love is the be-all and the end-all of your existence. There is nothing more important for you to learn. That does not mean to say it is a love encircled in its own way of thinking. You can have a love but still have the free will to disagree. What is the brotherhood of man if it is not an eternal love that you need to learn, but at the same time you can learn to disagree without any hatred, any malice. Love, love is the eternal law. It is what you should all strive for. I can say no more than that. It is the very highest thing that you can strive towards.
Yes, thank you.
Any more?
No, I have a question about belief.
Belief?
Belief.
Yes.
When I first got involved with the so-called spiritualism, what was appealing to me was that it wasn't really required to believe anything in particular. And it wasn't required to believe in Jesus, let's say, as the Son of God, in order to be saved, with the threat of the punishment of hell. It was presented to me as a way of thinking, a way of life that relied more on open-mindedness and love, and that appealed to me very much. Now, what I'm wondering is, you just said that we are given opportunities to believe or to understand what is going on, as though that's a condition for progression. And I just wonder if you could clarify that.
Yes. I have said that you are placed here with free will. True. Why do you suppose we were given free will? Let me say, you can only grow. We ask that you don't believe. We ask that you accept only that which is true through your own nature, your own conscience, whatever. I don't particularly like the word belief. To me, it has many connotations. As I have said, love is the essence of all being. It is what you must strive towards. The more open-minded you can be, the more aware you can become. I'm saddened still when I know and hear how much religion has a hold on the people here. It is a string, if you like, that needs to be severed. But that is difficult when it has had such a strong holding for so many, many years. All that we ask you to do, follow your heart, listen to your inner voice or conscience if you prefer, follow that and you will not go far wrong. Each and every one of you has a pathway to tread. We can try to influence you. We can try to guide you. But ultimately, the choice is yours. Follow your own heart and you can ask no more. And now I have to say we come to an end this time. We don't want to distress the instrument.
I was just about to ask you that, actually. And I do thank you for what you told us. And we look forward to your next visit.
Next time, I wish to speak on the people. And now I will leave it to you.